Good morning and a Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Thank you once again for taking time out of your morning to come and celebrate as a church fellowship, as a community. We are having, as you can see here, a little bit of technical delays in our presentation this morning. So we're going to once again mention hymn numbers for you guys to open to, and one or two of the songs that we'll sing have choruses that are not in the hymn book, but they should be familiar enough to follow along. We'd just like to mention that if you take a look at your bulletin this morning, we have a double bulletin. This is for this week and next week. So if you take it home and come back asking on New Year's Day, which our service will be at 10:45, our regular time, where the bulletin is, you'll have already had it. So just make special note of that. This morning we are doing our offering collection in a little different of a method. At the end of the service, we have a number of offering plates on the table in front of the sound booth. So we'll invite you to drop those in those plates at the end of the service, and we'll make a reminder a little later on to that as well. Finally, this week our offices have a little bit of a different schedule for the week. But on Friday morning, our office will be open. So if you were looking to drop by any last-minute 2016 offerings, or were looking to get connected as well, that's an opportunity. But once again, Pastor Barry and I are available by phone at any point through this coming week. So once again, if you are in need of either of us, please give us a call. Well, we have the opportunity once again to celebrate the birth of Christ season with the celebration and time of communion, so we look forward to that a little later in our service. Let's pray, and once again, we'll give this moment and day over to the Lord.
Dear Father God, we thank you for the grace and majesty in which you show yourself to your creation. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we are once again touched by this season. Lord, this time with our family and this time remembering those who we do not have anymore, those who have passed over the years. And Lord, once again, we thank you that you are a gracious God and a gracious master who rules over all of his creation. We thank you for the birth of your son, Jesus, and once again, for all that it is that you have shown us. We come to you this morning with joy on our hearts, and these things we pray in your name. Amen. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all my people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Let's stand this morning and let's have our voices ring as we sing the joy that is found in the Lord. If you'd stand and open up your hymnals to number 270, we're going to sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world. He rules the world with truth and grace. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. If we turn to hymn number 90, this one once again has a chorus that is a little newer to some of you, but you are the one who saves, you are the one who saves. You are the one whose hands lift us up from the grave. You are the light of life, the everlasting day. You are the one who takes all our sins away. As we've gotten farther into the Christmas season, I've had a little more free time than I usually have. Ashley's been out at a number of parties. The kids have been going to bed a little bit earlier. So I've had a little more time for Netflix than I normally do. And one of the shows that I've been diving into really heavily is The Musketeers. It's the famous retelling of The Three Musketeers, and it takes place in France under the reign of King Louis. And I have to say, King Louis is one of the most entertaining characters in the entire show. He is constantly making decisions that affect the entire nation based on the most ridiculous facts and logic possible. He's constantly doing things out of selfish ambition or childish ignorance. He is constantly ignoring the advice of his entire war councils and leaders and constantly being swayed by the most eloquent and well-spoken words from the villains of the
season. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, what a horrible place to live. Under the rule of a king that, for no reason at all, with no real logic behind it, can just make the most strange decisions, can be pushed into making decisions that affect other people so drastically under things that have no real relevance or basis in truth themselves. At this point, I've thought to myself, constantly, you know, over and over, as I've enjoyed this character, how great it is to have a king in our lives as followers of Jesus that we can depend on. A king who is not just our king, but he is our creator. He knows the fabric of our existence because he laid it through his words in everyone that he spoke, building creation out of his voice. He is the great designer for us as humans. He knows us better than we know even ourselves. Having, as scripture said, knit us together in our mother's wombs. And he is not just the king of a specific place, but he is king over all creation. That there is no one above him, no one who can counsel him into decisions that don't make sense. For he is truth, and he is life. He is not swayed, he is not partial, and he is not preferential. But the king that we serve is fair, is gracious, and he's glorious. Scripture shows us this wealth of different ways in which we understand our Lord as king. One of the passages that I've been studying through is from the book of Revelation. It says, Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Him who loves us has freed us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. Jesus' kingship is not just something that it happens from afar, but it's something that has many different layers in terms of how it interacts with his creation. We know that Jesus is not only the king of life, but he is the king of death. This passage talks about how Jesus is literally the firstborn from the dead. Now, through Scripture, we read a number of times of those who have been raised from the dead, by either the prophets or in the ministry and times of Jesus. But this resurrection was to the same type of life they lived beforehand, the same life with pain, with struggle of sin. And it was only ever temporary because at some point or another, most of them died again and experienced that separation. But when Christ died, it was temporary. When Christ died, he would be raised from the dead, having once again conquered what death was. Because our king was a king who chose to die for us. Upon his resurrection, he didn't come back to the same physical body that he had before, but he came back with a resurrection body. A new life that had come through his power and resurrection, that death itself could not contain Christ. That the absence of God could not hold Jesus separate and apart from his creation. Scripture continues in this passage to talk about how Christ is the ruler of all of the kings of the earth. That his rule is not just over a certain geographical area. That he doesn't just rule afar from the clouds in heaven where he is separate from his creation. But his reign is over the entire earth, of all men and all created things. His authority is over men, the land, the earth, and nature itself. And all men and women and children are born as his children, with him as king over all. Christ has released us as king from death. And he has released us through this bondage to sin, through his own blood. This ultimate gift as a king that he gave for us was that so that we would never have to experience death, true death, that separation from God. That when those who believe in him would die, they will be raised from the dead and not left apart from the Lord. That his grace is infinite. That his grace is encompassing. That his grace was once again meant for all to experience. A grace that once again was meant and thought of and with the purpose of each and every one of us sharing in that relationship with the Lord that we lost so many years ago, but that the Lord seeks to renew and restore with us. This passage lifts for us the truth that Christ has made us to be not only with him as our king, but he has made us to be a part of his kingdom. He has made a role for us within that kingdom as priests. That salvation has been made for us by the King of Kings, and that salvation is meant to shape our hearts, to shape our actions, to shape the way in which we experience the world around us and the way in which we interact with those that we live with. Scripture calls us to be a part of this kingdom. Scripture calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. To be present, but with a purpose and a goal in mind. The life that the Lord leads for us to live, that he sets out for us in his reign, is meant to call us to a specific task within his creation. To be priests. To be priests of the goal and kingdom that he has for us. And our role as priests is to administer truth. To share the truth of Jesus Christ in this world while we have the time. None of us know how many years or weeks or days that we have left. There are many that we've known over the years, and I'm sure you have as well, that you thought would have been there for decades and were taken away early. Or those who you thought lived a certain lifestyle that, yeah, they're not going to make it very far, and they lasted till later on in life. And in that sense, this goal that Christ gives us, this objective that he has, we actually only have a very narrow window of serving that. We actually only have so many opportunities ahead of us, and we've had so many behind us. And in that sense, this purpose, this role that he gives us, is really meant to be a frame to look through, a lens to see through, a way in which we can look at the world around us and measure what it is that we do, how we speak, and what it is that we attempt to accomplish in the kingdom. All of this opportunity to be once again living in this light that the Lord has shined for us is really truly a gift that comes to us from the Father through the Son, that we can live being blessed by the Holy Spirit. How much of a blessing is it that we serve the King of Kings? That we serve a King who works and lives actively among our creation. Our Father, we thank you that you are the King who came down for us, the King who interacted with his creation, the King who brought us truth and grace, the King who shows us majesty and power. Lord, we thank you that you came down for us. These things we pray. Amen.
We invite you to stand, and we're going to turn to, I believe it's number 277, and we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we are going to add in once again our chorus of King of Heaven, come down, King of Heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of Heaven, come. King of Heaven, rise up, who can stand against us? You are strong to save, in your mighty name, King of Heaven, come. Please stand. Stand against us. Turn with me to 526. We are not going to sing it, but we're going to sing Cornerstone. Now, once again, this is the same lyrics in terms of the song. My hope is built on nothing less. When darkness seems to hide his face, and when he shall come with trumpet sound. And once again, we'll sing the chorus as well. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil, and Christ come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And Christ alone, cornerstone, love through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. And through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Bless the Lord. You may be seated. We are blessed to follow the King of Kings, because an earthly king may be benevolent, or may he be insolent. He could be gracious, or he could be a tyrant. But in each case, on the earth, subjects follow the king that they do, and there's little to no choice that they have in the matter. Now, we know our Lord is a good king. His love shows that to us, that he is not an evil ruler. But in essence, he is truth and goodness. And therefore, his rule is true and good. But just because the Lord is good, and even though he is a gracious and amazing king for us, it doesn't actually mean that people follow him.
The reality is, however sad it is that it doesn't mean people love the king in response to who he is. And it doesn't mean that those who live give the king the respect and honor that he is due. Because a king is a king on earth, even if you don't acknowledge it. Seeing Christ as king gives us an amazing picture of who he is. It gives us an appreciation for the role that he has in our lives and he has over us. But knowing that he is king isn't truly enough for us. And that's why we are blessed in the wealth of what our scripture is. How it paints to us these images of who God is in these many different facets. As creator, as king, as father, as ruler. So that we can have many different ways in which we can understand who the Lord is to us. And one of those stands out in my mind as being one of the most powerful for us. And that is our ability to see and understand Christ as Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. A king in ancient times and biblical times would have ruled from afar. His public appearances would have been minimal, and his interaction with the people as a whole wouldn't have been very common at all. His rule would have given decrees to counselors and advisors, who would have given it to the supervisors and regional ministers of the land, who would have passed it through the actual soldiers themselves to dictate to the people. Following a king would include acknowledging his presence, paying the dues that are required, but could mean that you would live your entire life never having actually seen him in person. And in the same way, just like going to church and reading your Bible or paying tithes doesn't make your life alive in Christ, living under a rulership of a king doesn't mean people follow him as king. Now, living under a lord in biblical times would have been quite a different experience. A lord would have been a head of a household or the ruler of the lands, who would have constantly been actively governing what it is that they did. That they would be raising and training those to look after the land itself. That they would be advising and leading their sons and actively showing them hands-on what it is that needs to be done to ensure that the land would be fruitful and grow and prosper. There would have been an opportunity to constantly be interacting with those who you served and who served you. The direction of a lord would give you your specific daily tasks, but it would also define how you would get paid, what you would seek to accomplish within a day or week, and how you would shape the life that you actually lived. If we follow Jesus as Lord, then it means that he's speaking into our lives in more than just laws and dues. That he speaks into us on not just where we're going and what our tasks are, but he's speaking to the way in which we may accomplish them. The way in which we may serve and reach and work for his glory and benefit. But he seeks to make us as successful as we can be within that. If Christ is our Lord, then it's our responsibility to live, to think, and to feel based on not just our own thoughts and opinions and the things that come to our mind first, but based on the direction that he gives us through his Holy Spirit, through the prompting on our hearts, and through the leading that Scripture gives us in our lives. Living for a Lord is when you dedicate everything that you do to the goals and purposes that have been given to you to accomplish. Living for a Lord is living in response to the privileges and freedoms that you have been given and provided. Living for a Lord would mean that you live with intentionality, with the willingness and deep-hearted desire to accomplish for your Lord what it is that He has asked of you, and to do your best for it. Living for a Lord means that there's a measurable and tangible effect and change that happens in not just one corner of your life, but within everything that you do. And I know sometimes I, just like you, struggle with that. I struggle with holding on to the things that I know and that I think and that I feel, and not always deferring to what it is that Christ sees for us. It's easy to see Christ as King of Kings, and it's easy to understand Him as Lord of all. But do we give everything in our lives over to Him? Do we allow Him complete guidance and wisdom to speak into our hearts over what it is that we need to think and hear? Do we hold nothing back? Do we come before Him with open hands? I've been reading a book recently, and it was talking about leaders who try to affect change. And it said the person who will make the most drastic change in their lives, in the lives of the people around them, is the person who's willing to give up anything and everything to see that change take place. To forfeit your own desires, your own wants, your own preferences, and the things that you feel that you need for the glory and honor of Christ, and to give Him space to speak into you. This morning we did a little bit of opening presents, and at one point Logan had so many things on his lap that he kept trying to get the next thing, and he just couldn't do it. No matter how hard, much he wanted to, one thing started to slip out under the arm, or one thing started to fall off his knee. And sometimes this is the way that we live our lives, completely unaware of it. That we're holding on to everything that we think we need and want, and God's trying to give us something, but we're just not ready for it. The Lord calls us to do everything in our power to follow what He says for us. That Christianity is not a religion of rules to follow so that you can become holy in God's eyes, but it's literally a manual on how to become the best version of yourselves possible. If we learned on our life and we leaned on God's strength in all that we would do, we would be gracious, loving-filled vessels that would constantly mold the lives of the people that we live with and around us. That there would never be this tension over not feeling like we want to do something or need to do something. There would never be a struggle over insecurities, over what it is that the Lord is asking for us. We would experience these fears and these temptations, but they wouldn't hold us the same way that I know some days they hold you and some days they hold me. We could be people who follow in line with what Christ says for us, to be the physical embodiment of His love, and to love the Lord first, and to love your neighbor as your second. But to do this, it will require us to let go. It will require us to be uncomfortable at moments, to give up things we want or prefer in purpose of something greater than ourselves. And it will all be for God's glory and honor. It will all be in light of what it was that He gave for us, what it was that He planned for us despite our needs or our wants. That when we fell from grace as His creation, He did everything and anything that needed to be done so that we could come before Him and be made whole and be made true to what we were intended to live like as He created us. This month, as we were talking in our schedules over when we would do communion, Liam, I'm going to switch to my lav here, if I'm not already there. He's on top of it. What am I talking about? We decided that we'd have the opportunity to do communion on Christmas Day because this doesn't come around that often. I mean, I think with a leap year, maybe once every 6 years, do we have the opportunity to join together on the day that is literally meant to celebrate Christ's birth. and that we could have the opportunity uniquely this year to come before the table and to celebrate how it was he accomplished for us that salvation and that redemption that he planned as he sent his son to us. This morning we're going to do communion a little bit differently than we normally have. We're going to invite you to come forward through the center aisle to the table. Pastor Barry and I will be here once again to distribute the elements, and then we'll invite you to exit up the sides and back to your seats. And we ask you just to hold on to those until everyone has been served. If anyone is unable to come forward, or once again, just please raise your hand. We do have a set of trays available to be brought to you where you sit. And once again, we just invite you all to just come forward. So as we do, let's just open a word of prayer. Father God, we invite you into our hearts this morning to receive what it is from you that you are speaking to us. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you that you are a king who died for his creation, a king who rules amongst his people and not from afar. Lord, we thank you that you are a Lord who gives us direction and resources, who gives us prompting and encouragement, who lifts us up as we trip and stumble, and who brings us back under your arm as we need it and as we walk away. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. We thank you for his birth. We thank you that you showed us what that would look like through prophecies and words, so that when Jesus was born, that it would be entirely inarguable that this was not your plan all along. Lord, we thank you for your son Jesus who died for us. And we thank you for this time that we have as a family to come and celebrate the truth of who you are and that you are our King and our Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. As you are able, please come forward down the center aisle to receive your communion. Christ's body, which is broken for you, for the salvation of all men who would believe. Let's eat together. Father God, we thank you for your shed blood, which is the culmination of all that you intended for us. We thank you that as we fell short, you did not abandon us, but you continued to show us grace and continue to walk alongside us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and may it continue to shape and transform our hearts, that we would allow ourselves to come to you with open hands, so that you could continue to rebuild us into being people who are more like your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. In his name we pray. Amen. God's blood shed for you. Let's pray. As we close our services, we'd just like to once again remind you that we do have offering plates in front of the sound booth there for you to place your offering in as you leave this morning. And once again, we pray that you would have a blessed day, and once again, one that we truly celebrate in the name of Jesus. So may all that we learn continue to shape us to depend like Christ. May we live in response to the sacrifice that he has made for us, that he has given us. May we offer him all that he is due, not only as he is our King, and not only that he is our Lord, but that he is also our Savior. Dear Father God, we thank you for the freedoms that we have here in this time. We ask once again that we can continue to honor you in all that we do, and that we can celebrate this season with joy, and that joy may come from you, that may be founded in you, and that may it be just once again in light of all that you've done. These things we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, and enjoy your day with family in the Lord.